Welcome to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to welcome two second-year students, Andrew Kalna and Jeremy Rosenthal. Andrew and Jeremy are both members of our second-year student admissions committee. We recently welcomed them to the podcast to share a bit more about their experience and highlight some of their favorite tips for Darden applicants. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Andrew Kalna and Jeremy Rosenthal. Andrew, Jeremy, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Brett, hey, thanks, Brett, for having us.
It's great having you both here. Fantastic to have a couple members of the second year student admissions committee join us here on the podcast. Been looking forward to this conversation. We got round two deadline on the horizon. It's upcoming, and figured this was a good opportunity for you to share some insights, some wisdom that you've accrued from your time as Darden applicants, as members of the student admissions committee, with our listeners. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit more about you and your background. So Andrew, I'm going to start with you. Tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you did before coming to Darden.
Sure. So before coming to Darden, I was an Army officer. That's where I spent most of my time. And I was primarily working on engineering projects and diving operations. Had the opportunity to lead a couple different organizations in that capacity, and really learned that I loved developing people and leading teams. And so I knew that as I was looking to transition out of the military, that I really wanted to continue in a general manager capacity. And so Darden was really a great fit for me, not having a business background and having a really phenomenal academic curriculum and program with the case method, but also being a really strong general management school and focus. It really resonated with me. And then, you know, I think a little bit more about who I am. I'm somebody that loves to be outside. I'm curious kind of about what's going on. I love learning new things, and I brought my family with me to Charlottesville. So I really enjoyed trying to get outside and explore some of the surrounding things with them.
One of the benefits of being in Charlottesville is all the great outdoor activities, how you can have a little bit more elbow room and explore. I mean, you're about 20 minutes or so to the Blue Ridge Parkway and lots of great hikes in the area. I imagine you've gotten into some of that since you've been at Darden.
Yes, we do a lot of hiking, even more with COVID. It's a really safe activity that we can just go do with, you know, just our family, the three of us, and get outside. Spent a lot of time. I love Charlottesville too for all the, you know, the vineyards and the breweries. It's another great way to kind of be outside, enjoy, you know, a local business. And then, you know, the food scene in Charlottesville is pretty amazing too. So that's been things that we've enjoyed pre-COVID and now in COVID in slightly different ways, but it's still really good to see the cool things that are going on around Charlottesville.
That's great. We hear about that so often from students when we ask them, what's your favorite thing about Charlottesville? And it's a common list of restaurants and outdoor activities and just the quality of life you can have in what's a really nice, very livable college town. So, yes. Jeremy, how about you? Share a little bit more about your background, who you are, and what you've done, what you did prior to coming to Darden.
Sure thing. So a lot of what Andrew was talking really resonates to me, particularly as someone who was coming to business school from a non-business background. So I come from a family of educators and teachers, and I kind of joined the family profession and was a teacher for 5 years, including at my own former middle school, where I led the math department alongside some of my own former teachers, which was an interesting experience. And then I transitioned to nonprofit. I worked for City Year, which is a national nonprofit. They have a location in Miami. And I was working in program management at two sites and really had a great experience there, also doing some instructional coaching and helping to maximize the impact of those people who were serving down there. Wanted to come to business school because I wanted to eventually return to that nonprofit sector. And I saw that so many of the people leading nonprofits had their hearts in the right places, had a bunch of skills in the for example, in the education sector, but lacked some of those hard business skills. And I wanted to be able to combine both of those skill sets. And that's what brought me to Darden. And in terms of Darden and its situation in Charlottesville, I'm more of like a nature from a distance kind of guy myself, but I'd love to see from the comfort of a vineyard chair or picnic on the mountains in the distance. It's a change of pace, being that I'm from South Florida, which I also love, but it's cool to get some seasonality. And definitely echo a lot of Andrew's recommendations, particularly around the food culture as well. But yeah, I'm really enjoying my time at Darden, and it's been a tremendous learning experience, and I'm excited to see what happens from here.
Well, thank you for that, Jeremy. Charlottesville is a really nice place to spend a couple of years, particularly in graduate school. You got a lot going on. You're very, very busy. By being in Charlottesville, it allows the school to be focus of your academic life, certainly, but also your social life. How did you think about the location as you were making your decision?
I think I wanted to be in a town that was different enough from where I've spent most of my life, which again is in South Florida. I wanted that change of scenery, that change of pace, but also not so starkly so that I was having to don like a winter down coat like in September. So I liked that it's a pretty moderate climate, but also I still get a little bit of a taste of those different seasons, and somewhere that was not terribly far from some family that I have scattered around the East Coast. And somewhere that was just a beautiful town that had, again, some of these great resources. What's great about Charlottesville and, college towns generally, but I think Charlottesville does it best, is that you have these resources that are usually relegated to really large cities. But because it's a college town, you have this great dining, great arts and culture, and all of that. So, that was a major plus in the pro column when it came to making my final decision, for sure.
So you are both from interesting background. So Andrew, you're coming from to business school from a military background. Jeremy, you came out of this teaching nonprofit background. As you thought about business school and kind of making this transition, how did that feel to you? Were you nervous? Were you concerned that you might not have exposure to some of these traditional business topics and making that adjustment? Andrew, is this something that you thought about before you matriculated?
Yes, it's something I thought about quite a bit. Fortunately, the Darden Military Association and other veterans at different schools and people who had made a similar transition were really kind and paying it forward and sharing their experiences with me and their best practices and things that they'd learned during that process. So I felt like I had a lot of good advice that I was able to try and implement. And it's, I think coming to Darden, definitely had the opportunity to do the Darden Before Darden program, which helps, those who don't have a business background get exposure to some of those topics like accounting, finance, decision analysis before the first quarter actually starts. I knew that it was going to be drinking from a fire hose, especially in those first few weeks. I think Mark Lispin said it well, it's like an immersive process. You're like learning a new language. Everything is, 3 feet above you and you don't really understand anything. And then a few weeks in, you have a big aha moment. And then you typically have several more of those, whether it's in the first quarter or the first semester of the first two quarters. And, I'm just kind of amazed. Trust the process is a phrase that's used quite a bit at Darden. And you really don't need to do anything. There's certain things you could do that might help you close some gaps here or there before you start, but it really is a process. And I'm constantly amazed at how much I learned in the first year. Thinking about, you really have to think about yourself and really benchmark just against yourself. But when I looked at my peers that had spent 6 years on Wall Street or other finance or business backgrounds, I wasn't really able to have a conversation or have much understanding at first, but now I'm not quite as good as they are, but I think the gap is pretty small just because of how robust Darden's program is, the exposure, and honestly, the willingness of my peers who have, you know, different expertise in different areas, taking time to explain something to me after class or, you know, in class, answering questions for the benefit of everyone.
Thank you for sharing that perspective. Jeremy, is this something that you thought about, you know, coming to business school? You know, you had a math background. It sounds like you were teaching math, worked in nonprofits. Were you concerned about having gaps or, you know, learning a new curriculum or being around people that were from more traditional, quote unquote, business paths and careers?
Yeah. And if I could just echo everything Andrew said, all of the above, I was nodding my head all the way along. Definitely agree. That was a major concern. And I think that's why I ultimately chose Darden, because coming from an education background, I had a real, you know, teaching philosophy or educational philosophy that was student-centered and that encouraged discourse within the classroom. And I realized how that worked well with my students. I wanted to go to a school where I would have that same opportunity. And so I was really drawn to Darden for the alignment with my own kind of pedagogical philosophy. And if you're gonna go to business school, if you have gaps to fill, go to a school that actually actively works to fill those gaps. And so that's kind of what led me to Darden. And if I could just add a really fundamental piece of the puzzle here at Darden is the learning team. And a lot of what Andrew talked about was there's a lot of informal collaboration that happens, but having that formal system in place is definitely really important. And I know in the case of my learning team, just having a group of people who had those more traditional backgrounds and who were willing to share that knowledge with me so readily was tremendously helpful.
I'm glad you mentioned the learning team. We've talked about it a bunch here on the podcast. We also talk about sections and how that becomes a real anchor for students as they progress through that first year curriculum. I mean, there's a lot of support. So hopefully if people have been listening to the podcast, they know that they're not on their own as they go through this process, that there are a lot of people there to reach out and ask for help. The learning team is a natural place to get started, as you know, these teams are intentionally diverse in terms of different backgrounds, academically, professionally, and a great touch point for students as they navigate the core. So I'm curious about how things are going for you right now. As you might imagine, we have a lot of prospective students asking about life on grounds and what's happening. You have, you know, wrapped up the semester, so to speak, and looking forward to the coming quarter and semester. Andrew, I'm curious if you have any thoughts you'd like to share about how this past semester went, what the experience was like. Did you have virtual classes? Did you have hybrid classes? Did you do extracurricular activities? What did that look like?
Yeah, so I had several hybrid classes. I had one that was all virtual. So this past quarter, I was typically on campus 2 days a week. Two of my classes were small enough, or not enough people opted in, that I was able to be on grounds almost every week for those couple of classes, which was really helpful. I think, you know, when you have the opportunity, at least for me, to be in person, it's just a little bit easier to kind of focus and engage with that material, especially with some of the classes that are a little bit more quantitative in nature. That said, I think, you know, Darden continues to invest a lot in not only the technology, but the process of teaching online. I know the professors get together and, you know, talk about best practices and what's working in different learning formats. And so, you know, the professors continue to deliver the best experience they can given the circumstance. So I had a good quarter, you know, took some courses and really branched out, tried to push myself. So looking forward to being on grounds again, at least for a couple courses in the hybrid format in Q3. And also taking the J-term. So that'll be nice, a little compressed course. So that'll be a new experience too.
So you mentioned a couple of things there. We talked about them here on the podcast, but hybrid courses where you have in-person as well as virtual participants for the same class session. You also noted that, you know, it is ultimately right now at a student's discretion as to whether they'd like to be in person. We know that different students have different comfort levels with that. Some students, you know, ultimately may have people in their lives that they're just thinking about their safety and health and well-being and, you know, choosing to participate virtually. But I have been really impressed. The school has really worked hard. The faculty has really worked hard to find ways to offer in-person experiences. We had Zakiya Pierre here on the podcast to talk about all the things that are going on extracurricularly here at the Darden School, all the things that clubs and organizations are doing as they're navigating, you know, the evolving guidelines from the universities, different group size restrictions that have been shared over the course of the semester, but yet student life is still ongoing, still happening. And it was fun to hear her perspective on that. Jeremy, how has this semester gone for you?
Yeah, it's gone really well. I know my sister is a college student, and so saw her over Thanksgiving. We kind of compared notes about how the transition to online worked for her versus for me. And I think that it's made me appreciate the effort that Darden has put into that transition all the more, just because there's a lot of thoughtfulness around our courses. And for me personally, I don't think that I've learned any less or more, for that matter, in an online class versus an in-person class. If anything, I'm more keen to participate if it's virtual. I know that there's like a contingent of students that feel that it's a little bit lower. It feels a little lower stakes when you're participating in a virtual environment. But nonetheless, I've learned a good deal both virtually and in person, and have enjoyed some of those hybrid classes though, just to get some face time in with the professors. But in terms of some of the other aspects, I know some professors, including one of mine, offered students the opportunity to have socially distanced drinks at her house one day, and coffee chats and things like that. So they're really trying to make sure that we feel as much a part of the community as possible. A lot of Darden Cup events were transitioned during this time, and those were very successful from what I understand. And then some of the clubs that I'm in, one of them, we were still able to have our signature event, which we were able to transition to an online format, which was very successful also. So very different, but not necessarily better or worse, just certainly very different this quarter.
Yeah, we're often reminded of what Tom Steinberg said at the beginning of the semester, is that really the charge is to try to make this new, to see what's possible given this particular set of constraints and this particular set of circumstances. We are where we are with the health and safety guidelines. You know, COVID remains an evolving, fluid situation. But I do think, just in talking with students here and talking with faculty and talking with staff, people have really worked hard to make this as good a semester as it could be, to find ways to be together safely and to continue to be creative in the midst of all of this. You're both members of the Student Admissions Committee, and our listeners may not know a ton about what is colloquially known here at the Darden School as the SAC. Andrew, how would you describe the SAC to a prospective student?
I would just say that the Student Admissions Committee is a group of first or second year students, because the committee runs across both years, who are really dedicated to helping ensure that prospective students have the resources and the best possible experience during their application and interview process. So, you know, in the first year, the SAC is really focused on really the events, you know, the welcoming events for students as they're coming on grounds, exploring Darden, pre and post admission. Usually there's three big event weekends that we host. And so really providing a welcoming atmosphere and trying to give them a really phenomenal experience to not only see what Darden's all about, but also be able to take in some of Charlottesville and see what it's like to live and study here for a couple of years. And then, I'll let Jeremy touch more on the second year, but I think it's a little bit more focused on, you know, the interview process and helping prospective students who are reaching out and kind of starting their research. So I'll pause there and hand it over to Jeremy.
Yeah, I mean, I think you captured it. It's really exciting to be such an integral part of the interview process, to get to meet so many folks that are excited about Darden, get to share our experiences with them, and to interview them and chat with them. And really the emphasis here at Darden is that the interview is a conversation. So it's great to get to have those conversations with so many really impressive folks.
I'm curious what it's like to be on the other side of the interview, because that is, we know this from an admissions committee standpoint, it's probably one of the more nerve-wracking moments in the application process. You know that you're being considered for an offer of admission. It's worth noting that in early action, we have open interviews, but all other interviews are by invitation only. And so, you know, you kind of move forward in the process and you're talking to someone, maybe a second year student, maybe an admissions committee member. What's it like, Jeremy, to be on the other side now doing those interviews? Do you remember when you were a prospective student and going through that process?
I do remember. And I remember how much my perception of Darden and every other school is really colored by that interview experience, which is, I think, one of the reasons why I really wanted to be sure that I was a part of this committee, because I had a lot of interesting experiences where at other schools where it felt like I was being grilled and where there was a lot of nerves and not smiling people. And whereas at Darden, it was just like a very warm and welcoming experience. And again, it was really conversational. Getting the chance now to help to facilitate that kind of experience for my interviewees, letting them know that this is, you know, it's a conversation. I want you to reveal your, you know, show your best self through the process. It's just really gratifying to get to be a part of that process. Selfishly, I've picked up some tips now as an interviewer. I've gotten a chance to kind of get in the head of what an interviewer is thinking. And as I've, you know, been an interviewee throughout the recruiting process, it's really been a good chance to reflect and think about, you know, what stories are the most compelling ones to tell within that context. But overall, just, I certainly do remember what it was like to be in those seats. And that's why I really felt compelled to apply for this position.
Andrew, how about you? Do you remember going through the interview process? What's it like now to be on the other side of the table, so to speak?
Yes, I do as well. And I echo everything that Jeremy said. I think my motivation was similar. Yeah, having some really great and some not as great interview experiences, not only with MBA admissions, but just, you know, previously in other professional experiences, I was really excited by the opportunity to represent the university. And, you know, it's a really humbling responsibility, because I think what I've realized is that as the interviewer, the onus is really on you to create an environment that is conversational and gives the candidate the best opportunity to showcase themselves holistically. And so, you know, that's something that I know we all take very seriously. And, you know, as Jeremy mentioned, when you're on the other side and you're kind of reflecting on that, you realize that you want to take away that hierarchy or that dynamic and just really engage in this open conversation. And when you do it well, it just is really apparent, because it's effortless for both of you. It's just really enjoyable, and it really opens up and helps you understand, you know, their fit and then provide information for the admissions committee to make their final decision. And I think that's what's really phenomenal about the process at Darden. So really excited and privileged to be a part of it, and really honored to meet some of these candidates, because they're truly incredible people. Really enjoy getting to spend some time with them.
Certainly our favorite part of the application process from an admissions committee standpoint. And it's a real luxury to get to spend 30, 35 minutes with a candidate, hearing their story, really kind of bringing that sort of personality and depth to the application. It's a great opportunity to assess some things that may be harder to assess from the application itself: communication style, presence, all these kinds of things that matter. I'm wondering, you know, so you're current students, you're coming to these interviews, you're having conversations, you're in the community. And you're thinking probably about that experience as you're interviewing candidates and getting to know them. I wonder if you have any tips or a favorite interview tip that you share with prospective students as they approach this conversation. We just recorded a podcast conversation all about interviews, but as part of that, we did not have the student perspective. So Jeremy, I wonder, do you have a tip that you like to share with interviewees?
Yeah, so I'm not sure if it's a tip per se, but I think it's to make sure that you understand the purpose of this interview is really to get to know you as a whole person. So I'm sure within some of the other, you know, online and in that previous conversation that you just discussed or mentioned, there's our interview process is very kind of interviewee directed, and they kind of lay the groundwork for their story. And I think it's important to realize that we're not just asking for what your professional achievements are. We want to know how you got where you got, what intention was behind the decisions you've made, and what makes you tick, what are you passionate about, and what are you going to bring to the Darden community beyond just the smarts and the business acumen or the prior experience, whatever form that took. What are you going to bring as a person to the Darden community? And so just to make sure that people are letting that shine throughout their interview.
All really good advice. So much of what we encourage candidates to think about is the why of their story, right? As you're telling that, not just what you've done, but why, and sort of that self-reflection and that introspection. Andrew, I wonder if there's an interview tip that you like to highlight or something that you encourage interviewees to think about as they prepare for that conversation.
Yeah, so I'll build on that. I'm really big on the why and you know, the holistic perspective. And so I think what I encourage candidates to do is do two things. One, try to focus on getting conversational. I think it's easy, even though we try to create this really open conversation, to try to give the right answer. And I think it's important for candidates to know that we're not looking for one type of person. We're not looking for everybody that wants to do X and Y or comes from a specific background. We really just want to see you shine through, and that comes from being your authentic self. And I think when I was going through the interview process, you know, I was like, what does that really mean? But I think it's just like answering a conversation in or a question in your language, right? And showing up in the way that you normally would. Because it's
you're always encouraging candidates to be themselves in this process. I think if you can do that, then by the time you get to the end of it and, you know, you make your MBA plans, you know, the school's picked you for you, not some sort of edited version of you. And we would really encourage you to sort of embrace the application as an opportunity to be your true self, because that's what we're interested in. To the earlier point, you know, you're going to bring that whole self with you to Darden. Students are very engaged in the classroom, outside of the classroom. It's a participatory environment. And so who you are and how you think about things and what your values are and how you perceive the world will have direct impact upon your learning experience and the learning experience of those around you. So so put in the time, do the research, and by the time you get to the interview, you know, definitely engage with these sort of questions that will allow your voice and who you are to come through. So wanted to invite y'all on as your second year student admissions committee members to see if there were any other tips you might have for our applicants as they prepare for the round two deadline. I know we've got some listeners focused on applying in early January, working on their materials right now. Jeremy, I want to put in a quick plug for you. You wrote a blog post not so long ago, a really helpful one, highlighting 5 hard-earned tips. It's great. If any of our listeners have not read that yet, go to the Discover Darden blog, check it out. I'll start with you to see if there's a tip that you would like to highlight for folks as they work on their applications.
Yes. Thank you for that. That was fun to write, and definitely the hard-earned aspect was referencing that it wasn't my first rodeo that when I applied to Darden. I had done it once before and had a lot of learnings I was excited to get to share with people. But I think if I were to highlight one of those out of the list of 5, I would say really to own your impact. So I know my first go-around, my dress rehearsal, quote-unquote, was my resume and all my application materials kind of just came across as these were my job responsibilities, like listed ad nauseum. And so I think that what's important is to disentangle what has your impact been within your organization. Don't shy away from the impact. And if it's not something that's quantifiable, where have you taken initiative? Where have you left your fingerprints on your company? Where have you gotten to hone leadership experience, your leadership skills, whether in formal or informal ways? So just make sure that you're conveying that both in the resume, in the other application materials, and also in the interview. And I know that this is kind of common knowledge, but so many times students send me their resumes, or I've seen student resumes, and they just read as these bullet points where it's, you know, just a listing of job responsibilities. So I think it's really an opportunity to show what you've done and show off your skill set in a really compelling manner. So don't let that go to waste, that opportunity go to waste.
So own your impact. Donna Clark has a really nice video around showing impact and leadership in your resume. If you have not had a chance to watch Donna's application tips video series, highly encourage it. If you're working on an application, I would describe it as essential viewing. So take a break from Netflix for a little while, watch some application tips videos. It'll be well worth your time. Andrew, how about you? Any tip that you'd like to highlight here for our prospective applicants?
So building off the research aspect, I think that's really important for a lot of your essay questions, to understand Darden holistically, what it offers across the academic and the social, spheres. I think the other thing is it's important to be self-reflective as you're answering those questions. And so I think it's really important, especially since most of the questions I think for the application are pretty short, like a couple hundred words or less. I think it's good to read those questions and really reflect on them before you answer them, because you want it, again, to be holistic. So if somebody's reading your application, you want your story to flow and it to make sense the way that you're answering your essays and the other things that come across through the whole application process. And so I think it's something that you don't want to rush. You don't want to save to the last minute. Start early, do your research on the school, but also reflect, you know, ask that why of yourself. Why is this maybe a career pivot that I want to make? And how does it, you know, tie together the A and B, A being where you're coming from, C where you want to go, and B being Darden. So how are you going to bring certain skills and aspects with you to Darden? How are they going to enhance those skills, fill other gaps to get you where you want to go? So I think that is what I'd like to offer for a focal point.
Yeah, the reflective, you know, quality, engaging in these kind of questions, I think we oftentimes feel as admissions committee members that the applications that really shine when we're reading them, you can tell that people have spent some time with their materials, that they've really spent some time engaging with these questions. You're not going to be able to say everything that you want to say in the application, but you are going to be able to share some really important things. And the way that I always encourage candidates to think about that application is it's an initial introduction to you. And it should be the sort of thing that we read and say, gosh, this is somebody we would love to talk to a bit more and learn more about. And then that's where the interview comes in. And the interview is an opportunity for you to bring more depth and to complement and supplement that information you provided in the application. Jeremy, I wonder if you have another tip that you might like to highlight, something, it could be something you wish you would have known, or now that you've been a student, something that you think about a little bit differently about the application process. I'm curious.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of my tips are around doing that research, because in terms of what I wish I would have known, it was the degree to which students do this research and just how impressive it is and how much it kind of colors the interview. But I think another thing that really jumps off the page when you're looking at a resume, or that stands out when you're talking to someone, is to make sure that you're communicating that you're a human being with passions, that you have hobbies and interests, and we've spoken to this a little bit so far, but I know I mentioned the talent show for Darden Cup in that blog post, and just how impressive everyone was and how exciting it was to see everyone on the stage showing some of their talents. And clearly these are talents that have been honed over many years. And it's if that's something that you bring to the table, make sure that you're letting us know what you're all about. And yeah, so I just think humanizing the application as much as possible, use that space at the bottom of your resume to say what some of your favorite podcasts are. I'm sure this one will be on the list, or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I think, just make sure that you're conveying that holistic part of yourself.
No, I really appreciate that point. And I think we are very interested in that. So we do ask about hobbies and interests, and there's a short answer question. What would you like your learning team to know about you? That's a way of potentially highlighting some of those things and bringing that personality forward. Of course, one of my favorite questions in interviews is about hobbies and interests. I love asking people what they've been reading or what they've been listening to. Again, so much of this is about what you're passionate about, because passion is kind of essential for the case method. You have to be curious. You have to be curious about how people think about the world, see things. And it's really kind of the fuel for what happens here at Darden. Andrew, is there another tip that you like to highlight, or anything that you share with prospective students?
I think it's kind of about, you know, being willing to open up and not being afraid to, I don't know if take charge is the right phrase, but in an interview, like, everybody has a different personality, but it is certainly okay to be excited and take charge and embrace and own your story. There's something powerful about that. And so whatever it is and whoever you are, just take charge. It's your time to share, and it's a really open conversational time. I think dream big and be willing to share it, because there's a lot of people at Darden who have very different ideas of what they want to achieve. So we're really excited to hear yours, or, you know, about your background and what's led you to this point. So I think it just goes back to that reflection. There's a finite amount of space on the application, and there's a finite amount of time in the interview process. So I think maybe I'll leave it with, know exactly what is important to communicate and focus on those two or three things and weaving it through the conversation during the interview.
And if I could piggyback on that real quick, some of the best interviews that I've conducted have been ones in which the applicant can anticipate the next question I'm going to ask, and where I get to the end of my, I consult my list of questions, and they've already been answered kind of preemptively on behalf of the applicant. And I think it just shows that they have a sense of what is important and what aspects of their story are most salient. They're able to prioritize those. And so definitely owning the story is really impressive, and practice, I guess the way to get there is through practice and trying to get inside the heads of your interviewer as much as possible.
I appreciate all the points. And I think we really encourage students to focus on narrative, to focus on their story as they put their application materials together. Don't just see it as parts of an application, but think of it as ways for you to share more about yourself. There are parts of the application that feel more like I'm just providing data, but the reality is it's all contributing to an overall story and our understanding of who you are and who you'll be here at Darden. So Jeremy, Andrew, I'd like to wrap up with one final question. It's a question that we ask a lot of our participants here on the Experience Darden podcast, our guests come on. What would you highlight sort of the why Darden reason, when you talk with prospective students and they say, well, why should I do this? Why should I pick this particular school? Jeremy, I wonder, what do you typically share?
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier, but I just want to underscore just the value of the educational experience. So being a former teacher, I could kind of see within my professors like their wheels turning as they're asking questions and as they're trying to steer the conversation. And I can see that they're just really at heart educators. I sat in on some other schools' classes during the interview process, and it felt much more like what in education we call like a sage on the stage, like someone at the front of the room kind of spewing their knowledge and like hopefully you catch and latch on to some of it. But here at Darden, it's really this conversation that's being steered by these expert professors. And when I say expert, it's both in terms of their content knowledge as well as the expert educators and teachers. So that's usually the thing that I first point to. And I mean, maybe that's my teacher bias, but really it's was exciting to me as a prospective student, and I've really appreciated it as an enrolled student as well.
Now, we'll take teacher bias here on the podcast any day. Absolutely. So Andrew, how about you? What's the sort of answer that you say to the why, that you give to the why Darden question?
So I always encourage students to focus on fit. And for me, Darden was a great fit. It is a great fit. I knew that coming to Darden, you know, with the case method, I was going to work a little bit harder than I would at some other schools. But I also knew that I was going to learn a lot more and get more out of it. And ultimately, you know, the goal was to be really well prepared and to learn all of these business skills that I didn't have, so that I could be successful in my first job, you know, and throughout my career. I also, so, you know, that's the academic lens, but there's also the social lens and, you know, the livability. And so for me, I think visiting is huge. I know that's obviously a challenge in this environment, but there's still a lot of online classes you can participate in, other events that the SEC runs. So, you know, making sure that you're a good fit doesn't mean you have to be homogenous with the student body, right? We really value diversity, but you can just tell if you fit and mesh with kind of that identity of the school. And then for me, another big part was I really wanted my family to be a part of this MBA process. And Darden was one of the most, you know, if not the most inclusive community. I could share a couple stories. I think we're out of time, but there were a couple moments when I was visiting with my family that really, you know, convinced us that this was a great fit and that they were welcome to participate in all of the activities. And so, I encourage students to assess that fit, and whether that fit is Darden or elsewhere, when you find your fit, typically that is where you'll thrive and you'll flourish. And so, focus on that, and I think everything else will be aligned for success.
It's a great point. I think when I was listening to you, what I was hearing, again, maybe to the point that was made earlier, is about what's most important to you. What are your values and sort of how are you thinking about this in a business program? And what's it going to take for you to thrive and to really feel supported and included in an MBA community? I think we all kind of know that. And the more you can focus on yourself as you go through this process and what's important to you, that also resonates with the general advice that I hear from so many people about beginning the MBA journey, remembering why you decided to do this, what your motivations were, what your goals are, and really kind of being self-directed as you progress through this. So it's great advice. Well, Andrew, Jeremy, it's such a pleasure having you here. It's always wonderful to have current students sharing their tips and guidance for our prospective student listeners. Thank you so much. And thanks for taking time for the podcast.
Thank you so much, Brett, and happy holidays.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate you having us. Happy holidays.
And that was my interview with Andrew Kalna and Jeremy Rosenthal, two second-year students on our student admissions committee. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and happy holidays.